Micah 4, verses 1 to 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And the second reading is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
So today we have Remembrance Day. But in 6 weeks' time, sorry folks, it will be Christmas Eve, which will have a different focus. But really, this is the beginning of his story. And so we're going to think about Jesus' life today, where there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and also a glorious future of eternal hope. We must remember that before there is death, there is life. So are you sitting comfortably? In the beginning, the incarnation. This is when Mary becomes pregnant by God and gives birth to Jesus, a little baby boy that was both human and divine. And we will be reading later from Philippians, it says, "Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave." Jesus lived a life on earth for approximately 33 years, and all that time he was submitting to his Father's will, not using the power that he did have access to. He lived an ordinary life like you and me. He was a carpenter and he shared in family life too. The verse from John describes Jesus as a shepherd. So for a few moments we're going to think about Jesus as a shepherd. I'm not actually sure if that was bang in the middle of his life, but you know, we'll go with that. So we talked about the shepherd, and the first thing is that he opens the gate. It says he's the gatekeeper, and he is the only one who can do this. He is the only way. The shepherd also used to lie at the gate entrance to prevent intruders from entering. So as we're thinking about gates, that links in with doors. And because I'm a practical sort of person, I like things in my daily life to remind me what God's doing. So as I go through doors, I like to think about how God can open doorways for us. So today we can ask God for guidance to guide us in our lives through the doorways that he thinks are best and are right for us. Then it goes on to talk about the sheep hearing his voice. And he calls them by name, which is very special. Now, did you know that sheep aren't so good at seeing, which is why hearing is so important. And quite often, when we have a good relationship with somebody, a close relationship, we immediately can recognise their voice. So it may be somebody speaking to you on the telephone and you can immediately recognise who it is. That's interesting because when a baby is born, it already knows the mum and dad's voice because it gets used to it in the womb. So we need to listen and see if we can work out what God's voice sounds like. And we need to think about the practicalities of doing this. So where's the best place for me to listen? And where do I hear best from God? It then goes on to talk about that the shepherd leads us. He walks ahead and the sheep follow. They know his voice and it says they will not follow a stranger, which is very sensible. We tell children, don't we, not to go off with strangers. How comforting it is to follow Jesus as he leads us his way because he knows best. But I wonder this morning, let us think about what sort of followers are we? Are we attentive to where he is leading us? And do we follow obediently? The shepherd leads them to pasture, which actually is a good place to be. God knows what's best in our lives, and so there is no need to fear. The Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." So be strong and courageous when you're following this morning. If we go through Jesus the gate, it says he will save them forever. We can trust him. The shepherd feeds all of the sheep. No one is excluded. He provides for them what they need, just like God provides for us daily in so many ways, and we often take this for granted. The shepherd has a lot of jobs to do, and it says he searches for the lost too. He looks for the lost sheep who have gone astray. He looks out for those who can't look out for themselves. And we can help in this by praying for those who are lost and those who are in need of his help. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." He knew what lay ahead. He was going to be cruelly treated, punished, end up on a cross, shedding his blood, taking the weight of the world's sin, so that we may have the opportunity to one day see God and to feast with him for all eternity. God is holy and cannot look upon sin. We all sin. None of us are perfect. And so Jesus goes before us. He pays the price and he leads us to God. In this situation, Jesus did not fight back. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, in silence and shame. He gave his life willingly for us. Holding nothing back, he sacrificed all. It says the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill and destroy. And this is what the enemy, Satan, desires. But Jesus came to love. And God's nature is always to have mercy. Jesus came to redeem our lives. He died for you and he died for me. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs from his table. None of us are worthy. This love is unconditional, amazing, massive. There aren't enough words to describe it. And that love drove him to the cross. And it's for you and for me. And he was the only one who could do this. Jesus, God's son, the only man that was born divine. All the sins of the world were satisfied and paid for when Jesus died. This means that the confession that we have just said, everything is covered. Yesterday, today and tomorrow. It is finished, was his cry. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for all not to prolong our days on earth, but to provide life for all eternity. We celebrate today the Feast of Holy Communion, which the Lord commanded that we should do, to remember his death for us and what that means. We will be encouraged to take and eat and remember the body that he gave for us. When Jesus died, though, this was not the end of the story. So we're moving through the seasons now, from Christmas to Easter. And we remember that after 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. It says in Corinthians, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. If Christ were not raised, then his death would have been in vain. The resurrection is what gives us a future and good news for our future. So as humans, if we give up our physical life to save another, it would only extend their life here on earth. But Jesus gave his life and rose to extend our lives for the whole of eternity. And the reading that we read from Micah said, nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. And then it went on to talk about the vine and the fig tree, which talks about peace. The vine and the fig tree are symbols of peace. One day there will be peace. Fear and war will be in the past, gone for all eternity. All weapons of destruction will be recycled into tools of production. There will be an end to conflict. There will be an end to war. So will we give our lives this morning? And who are we going to give them to? We will say after the feast, we offer you, Jesus, our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice, daring to live a life like Christ. So we need to listen to him and to let him lead us in all things, allowing him to open doorways of opportunity, and letting him protect us, provide us, and save us. The Christian life is not easy. It is the narrow way. Jesus said that we would need to take up our cross and follow him. So we might be challenged this morning in thinking, is there anything that I need to lay down today? as we live each day, how much do we think of other people? How much do we serve others? How much do we deny our selfish desires? Do we know what it is to make sacrifices? Are we prepared to take a stand for our Lord, or would we be like Peter and deny him when under pressure and worried about ourselves? We may not be asked by God to give our lives physically, but he does desire our hearts, for us to live with him and for him. So let's not deny our faith, however tough it may be. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, but this morning I want us to remember the whole of his life, from incarnation, through him being a shepherd, to dying in our place and being resurrected. His story has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and provides for us a glorious future. Everything he did for us. He thought we were worth dying for, warts and all. He sees all. No secrets are hidden. Nothing and no one deterred him. He laid down his life for us, and he went all the way so that we can sacrifice our lives to him and celebrate with him at the end. Life beyond the grave, death will have no sting because he holds the victory. Hallelujah.